What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we're talking about loneliness, the feelings of loneliness, you know, some of the difficulties that come with being by yourself for whatever reason that might be. I think of jobs that make us travel, and when you're by yourself and traveling, it's just like, ugh, lonely. Sometimes we're at a season of life where kids have moved on, and we're kind of lonely a little bit. Our lives used to be about taking care of them, and now they're gone. Or we're at a season where we're waiting for a family to start, whether that's we're single and looking to date or we're married and just kind of looking for kids. You can feel loneliness really at like any season of life, and it's not a one generation thing. It's not like this is only for the youngsters out there, and us older folk never struggle with loneliness. The reality is that loneliness is everywhere. And as I was researching for today's episode, I wondered, is there any stats on loneliness? You know, I'm not a person who puts a great amount of stock into statistics. I think they can often be used to really get what you want or prove your own point. So it's not always objective, but it's interesting at times to just research. And Gallup is often who I'll look to for stats. Gallup did actually do a study on loneliness in the U.S. It probably wouldn't surprise you to hear that overall loneliness reached its peak in 2021. And you're thinking like, all right, 2021, what happened in 2021? Was that the year my car was made? Like, what's going on? But remember, that was basically the end of about a year and a half of COVID. I remember the early days of COVID where we were at home for, 6 weeks. We weren't supposed to leave. In California, that number kept growing and stretching. You know, everything was going to give us COVID by the end of COVID. But those first weeks, like, we were at the house, and I was at the house with my family at the time. It's wife and two kids. So I couldn't even imagine being home by myself or home with a roommate who wasn't related to me in any way. I remember speaking with a group of believers from China, and I taught online for a seminary in Shanghai, and they were talking about how this had been a year and a half of isolation and lockdowns, and that those believers in China, like, they were pining and longing for community. Isolation in COVID, it was a dangerous thing. So that was really the peak of loneliness. But another peak happened last year. So in October of 2024, what they saw is a slight uptick from the rate of 17 or 18%. That's considered to be normal in adults who feel loneliness, upwards now of 20%. So moving from 17 to 20%. The way that they ask that question is, okay, how many adults have experienced loneliness a lot of the day yesterday? So the majority of yesterday, did you feel lonely? 20% of adults said, yes, I do. Yes, I did. Well, in 2023, the Surgeon General declared loneliness to be an epidemic in the U.S. Although progress has been made in reducing loneliness in the U.S. since the pandemic, a significant number of U.S. adults, an estimated 52 million based on Gallup's current estimate, still struggle with loneliness. And you should go check this article out. I think it's fascinating. When I read these articles, remember, I don't put a lot of stock into them, but it's called Daily Loneliness Afflicts 1 in 5 in the U.S., and you can find that at news.gallup.com. Loneliness is everywhere. I actually started thinking about this episode a while ago because a listener wrote in and just said, hey, I would love to hear your perspective on loneliness and a biblical view of loneliness. And I thought, I am currently at a season where loneliness is not something that I struggle with. And a lot of people aren't, you don't reach out to counseling for loneliness. you may have other presenting problems, but rarely, I can't remember one time, honestly, in the past 16 years of counseling where someone has reached out and just said, the only reason I'm reaching out for counseling is loneliness. Usually that's part of the conversation, but it's not the main thing. And I would say I don't currently struggle with loneliness now just because I'm at a very full season of life. I have 3 kids that live at home. You know, I'm a pastor. I record Transformed. You know, I work as a fellow at Fortis. I teach here at the Masters University. So it's every crack of my day is usually full. And it's also usually full with people. I don't work in a cubicle by myself. So it's not something that's totally familiar to me, but I can remember in the Army, I was the loneliest I have ever been. In fact, it was really difficult because of how lonely it was. And I wondered if I had made the right decision. So just a short testimonial. When I graduated from undergraduate, I went to the United States Army. Go Army, beat Navy. Take that, Navy nerds. And as I went to basic training, it was the summer of 2008. And you're plopped in with people from all over the world, really, even though they're American citizens, some are coming from Guam and other places all over the world. And you're put into basic training. You're put into these different training courses. And my first duty assignment was in one of the most remote locations in the entire world, which is Camp Boniface. And Camp Boniface, I would be surprised if you knew where that is. That is the little camp in between North and South Korea. It is in the demilitarized zone, or actually it's just south of the demilitarized zone. As soon as we go to work, quote unquote, we'd go into the DMZ. I remember pulling in there, not knowing anybody. There was maybe a few other believers there. This location was extremely remote. There's maybe 60 to 70 Americans who spoke English, and then another battalion of Korean soldiers, so 600 or so. I couldn't speak Korean. So I'm immediately dropped in a remote, lonely location. And I'll never forget just some of the loneliness that comes with being by yourself and not knowing anybody. The things that I would try to busy myself with were literally to just fill my time because I was that lonely. I would try to work more. I would try to exercise more. I started a master's degree during my time, all just because I honestly hated the stillness and didn't want to just sit around and waste it as others were doing. When we're lonely, according to Gallup, it's mostly connected to satisfaction with our life at this stage. So it's not as much connected to the future. According to their research, people that are the most satisfied today are the least lonely. Even if you have a bright future and yet you are really not satisfied today, you're still lonely. According to Gallup, that's not exactly what I would say is true, but according to Gallup, if you are satisfied and content today, you're less likely to be lonely. When we talk about lonely, I'm interested to see like what biblical passages speak of this idea of loneliness. There's a term that's used, it's translated in our English translations as lonely. In other translations, it could be solitary or deserted. But that term comes up in places like Psalm 25, verse 16. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. That's the term lonely, deserted, all by yourself, solitary. Psalm 102, verse 7, I lie awake. I am like a lonely sparrow on the housetop. We're all by ourselves. We're solitary. Same context. Psalm 68, verse 6, God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. Again, God's work in protecting the lonely or the solitary. I also know that Genesis 2:18 is a really big part of the conversation where God says that it is not good that Adam should be alone. But solitary there doesn't necessarily communicate that Adam was lonely. In fact, Adam wouldn't have known other human relationships. It could be that he was longing for something and he didn't know what it was, but the Bible just doesn't make it clear. What the Bible does make clear is that two are better than one. And for Eve to come and to be formed from Adam's side, from his rib, it is an indicator of the benefit of having a help meet. So God creates that help meet to offset the weaknesses of Adam being all by himself. But I would just want to be very careful to say that Adam was extremely lonely because that's not what the text says. Could he be? Yeah, absolutely. Was he? I think it's probable, but can we be definitive on that? I don't think so. If you are the only person living, it's not good for you to be alone either. So I don't want that to come across like Adam was longing for something. So when we talk about loneliness, the way the Bible uses it in these passages is just simply lonely or deserted. It's that idea of being all by yourself. And that can mean that you feel that way. You feel all by yourself. Even though you're in a crowd, you can feel all alone. So let me share just a couple of observations with you. When we talk about loneliness, this is generally what we are saying. The first is that I feel alone. I feel alone. Yes, I am in a crowd of people, but I honestly just feel so disconnected from all these people, and I don't really know any of them. The best way I could describe that is that, yes, you're around people, but you're not really relating to them. So you're not by yourself for sure, but you're not really relating to anyone in the crowd. So we need to do this. Let's take a short break. When we come back, I'll pick up with these observations about loneliness. We'll be right back.
Back with more from Dr. Greg Gifford in just a moment. And I don't know how you're hearing this conversation on loneliness, but I imagine for some of you, it lands a little bit closer to home than you might have expected. Maybe not in some dramatic way, but just quietly, like, yeah, I know that feeling. And if that's something that you've been needing, not just around loneliness, but maybe across the board, Greg has written a new book that just came out this week. We've been talking about it quite a while, and it's officially on sale now. Lies, My Therapist Told Me. It's available now at fortisinstitute.org/lies. It's not a rant against the therapeutic, well, maybe in a sense, but more importantly, what it is, it's a biblical lens for sorting truth from noise, and it is incredibly helpful. Lies, My Therapist Told Me. Pick it up right now at fortisinstitute.org/lies. Also, Greg's not just writing and counseling and making tons of content for Fortis Plus. He's also teaching the next generation of counselors at the Master's University. So if there's a high school senior in your life, or maybe someone who's wondering what it would look like to help people with real answers, check out masters.edu/transform. That's where it starts. And of course, if you've benefited from Transformed, or anything that we are able to deliver here at Fortis Institute, know this, ministry only moves forward because of our gospel partners. We've been at this for over 25 years, and you know what? It's still grassroots, still supported by people who want more Bible, not less. You can learn more about what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now at fortisinstitute.org. That's fortisinstitute.org. And only consider it if you're already faithfully giving to your local church and you're not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt. If those areas of your life are looking good right now, then we would be honored if you would consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Again, all of the details available to you right now at fortisinstitute.org. And while you're there, consider downloading the Fortis Plus app. 7 new pieces of content are added daily, absolutely free of charge. And this content, well, it's going to help grow you and grow your local church. That's what we aim to do. That is our goal at Fortis Institute. You can go to fortisplus.org or wherever you download your apps and download Fortis Plus absolutely free of charge. All right, let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford now. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. We've been discussing this concept of loneliness, and it's just really pervasive. And it's not isolated to one generation. It's not isolated to one group of people. Rather, loneliness is something that we all face, and we all have faced. And we may be at a full season, but you can be surrounded by a group of people and still be lonely. So let's jump back into the observations. The first one that I said is that you can feel alone. And most of the time when we talk about loneliness, that's what we mean. There are new friends, but we don't know them well enough to be able to just pop in and say what's up or say, let's go hang out. So we kind of feel alone. I think the closest that I could describe this is every time I go to a big city when we're traveling, it's like overwhelming how many people there are and yet how alone you can feel. We were in Tokyo last year And honestly, I think we said 10 words to a local Japanese individual. And yet there's like 20 million people in one city, people everywhere. And yet you feel so alone in that. Sometimes this feeling is really where we have to begin by saying, this feeling is not true. Even though I feel isolated, I'm not isolated. So I'll come back to that here in a little bit. Some of us, we come from larger families and we don't even know what that means to feel alone. Maybe we even dream about that. Do you remember Home Alone where Kevin would say, when I grow up, I'm living alone. You know, like he's so sick of his entirely large family that he just wants to be by himself. And that's kind of like the way that the movie progresses, that he starts to be thankful for his large family. But a larger family, they just always have community. In fact, sometimes it's hard to break into friendship with those in a large family because they roll like a squad. And as I've seen that over time, it's you are your own community and you thus bring your community with you everywhere you go. So there's not a lot of loneliness there if you're coming from a larger family. Observation number three is that some of us want close friends and we recognize that talking to people isn't the same thing as being in community. You have a jillion, a quadrillion acquaintances, but you don't really have any friends. So you're lonely. That's the equivalent of going to church and saying hello to people, but not really having any meaningful friendships at church. That's what's going on there. Because you would love to just go a little bit deeper than talking about the weather or the sports or what you're going to have for lunch that day. The last observation, and this is one that you're going to be like, yeah, absolutely. We know that there is a social media facade. And as we all know or are growing in understanding, social media is no replacement for friendships. It's an artificial friendship. It's a cheap friendship. It's one where we can have followers and friends, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we're communing with each other, conversing and developing a relationship. So it can be a very lonely place. Even if you had a large social media platform, it's still a lonely place because you don't have anyone that's actually your friend and anyone that just appreciates you for being you. I wonder, in loneliness, are you really connected to a local church? In the places that I've had to move, primarily for the military and then for seminary, those places, I've done my best to jump into a local church as soon as we get there. Seriously, like the first Sunday we're in town, we're finding a local church. We did that in Korea. We did that in Georgia. We did that in California. Our lonely factor is very much connected to our local church involvement. The last observation about loneliness, and one of the things that we don't like about loneliness, is loneliness means I have to face who I really am, and I have my own thoughts that I'm battling with. Sometimes we like people to distract us from who we are. Part of the remedy for loneliness, as I'll suggest in our next episode, is that you have to move to a point where you're okay being by yourself because your mind life isn't a wreck. You're not like constantly fearful, constantly fretful. Like you're able to just be content and be in the moment. So if you personally are struggling, then loneliness, it just turns the volume up on all of those personal issues that you're wrestling with. So that's why some of us don't want to be alone. Like, I don't want to be by myself. Why? Because my mind life is a wreck. My emotions are a wreck. There are multiple dangers. So those are the observations, but consider some of the dangers of actually giving into a solitary, I don't want to say deserted, but you're choosing to be by yourself lifestyle. Consider some of these dangers. The first danger is that you're going to cultivate poor relationship skills. I've talked about these multiple times on Transform, but if I give into being all by myself, the problem is that my communication gets worse. I don't know how to listen. I don't know how to draw people out. Time together gets tricky because I get very nervous about scheduling something. It feels very exhausting to think about planning something to be with someone. And now I'm kind of overwhelmed by the prospect of just doing something small, like going to the movies. Conflict resolution starts to wane because I get very sensitive and I don't have multiple friends. You're my one friend. And now I'm very sensitive to the times where you're unkind or you say something abrasive to me. Seriously, your relationship skills deteriorate if you're by yourself too much. The next thing that loneliness does is you become a needy person. This is a danger of giving into a solitary lifestyle, meaning that you have one friend and your one friend is more like your community. And I feel bad for your friend because that's a heavy burden to bear. If I am being overly needy, then what happens is that one friend is like taxed by relating to me. Remember, we've talked about when our friends become ministry. So this needy friend, the reality is that we are their entire community, and they really need to diversify and get more friends so we don't have to bear the full burden, and vice versa. We don't want someone to be our entire community. When you give in to loneliness, part of the danger is that you like being by yourself because of your rhythms and your way of doing things. I would say this is probably the most dangerous thing about giving in to singleness. So let me connect singleness and loneliness for a second. There are individuals that are single not by their choice. They've done their best to pursue relationships, put themselves out there, be humble, cultivate relationships. And so singleness is just, at the end of the day, it's just God's will for you right now. As you're listening to this, I want to be sensitive to that. That's part of how God works and He leads us. And I would encourage you, if you don't have a desire to remain single, then keep going, keep pursuing those relationships that God in His kindness will bring someone, most likely. And it may feel like it's been forever, but God is good and His timing is always good. But there's another group of singles that are just very particular. And partly why they are single is because it's really hard to break into their rhythm and their way of doing things. When you live by yourself, you have your own way of doing things. The way you fold your laundry, the way you go grocery shopping, how you spend your money, what time you go to bed, what time you wake up. If you're not careful, that solitary lifestyle makes you very selfish. And no one can really break into that because either we hang out with you on your terms or we don't get to hang out with you at all. And I can't help but think if you're single late into life, think 50s and 60s, that's almost an impenetrable habit. Like you can't break that. And it's just going to make issues worse. So don't give in to solitary living for the sake of selfishness. That's a huge danger. You will become a very myopic person and really hard to get along with. The last danger of loneliness is that you find community in the wrong places. Does that sound weird? Solitary lifestyles often mean that it's not that you give up on relationships, but rather you start looking for them in the wrong place. Let me see if I can give you an example of that. People that live by themselves often have multiple animals. Bum, bum, bum. You're like, oh no, you stay away from my bird. No, I don't hate animals. But our animals are not intended to be our community. Our animals are not intended to replace human relationships. I find people that live in a more solitary lifestyle often surround themselves with animals now. And some even weirdly so. Some even to the point of, you know, talking to them, or there's a dog stroller somewhere in there. And it's like, okay, this is no longer enjoying God's good gift, but I think you're actually finding relationship in something that you shouldn't find relationship in. Animals would be an example of that. Online would be an example of that. I remember doing the chatbot series not too long ago and just seeing how people were losing touch with reality. Chat rooms aren't as big of a deal anymore, but think where we're going online to actually meet people. That is where we're finding community in the wrong places. So those are errors in our loneliness. Loneliness can lead us to that. So I kind of say all of those things to bring us to this point. Like, what is the hope for us who struggle with loneliness? Many of you are like, yeah, I don't want to be lonely. So Greg, why are you bringing this up? Well, I'm not bringing this up to pour salt in the wound. I'm just saying there is an innate danger of giving into a solitary lifestyle. And those are some of those dangers. So what is our hope? Like, where do we begin? Let me read the scripture to you from 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul's describing his own trials. Think of his actual court trials. At my first offense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. What do we have to start with when we are struggling with loneliness? The Lord stands by me. I am never by myself when I am in Christ. God's Spirit indwells me. Jesus promises, Matthew 28, to never leave me or forsake me. Paul says, though everyone else abandoned me in my first Roman imprisonment, yet the Lord stood by me. I was not alone. Our loneliness starts to take a corner when we say, I'm not alone. The Lord is with me, and I'm finding my first relationship. I'm finding my first means of community and conversing and confiding and another C word I can't think of right now. I'm finding that all in the Lord. He is the one that never deserts me and never leaves me. Why am I at times immediately lonely, wishing I had more friends, yet okay? Because the Lord stands by me. That's the principle. If you're lonely and you're struggling with this, let's start with that principle. The Lord stands by us. So we got to be done for today. In our next episode, I want to just give you practical thoughts and ways to grow in Christ-likeness in the seasons of life where we're just struggling with a little bit of loneliness. So let me pray and we'll be done for today. Lord, we are thankful that you stand by us, that Jesus stands by us, and that you send your Spirit to indwell us. We're never alone. And at times we are in seasons that are slower, more isolated, and yet we're never alone. Help us to bask in the fact that you are with us wherever we go, and may that give us hope and joy in our immediate circumstances, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.